The Wellness Collective with Cecilia and Nat.
Welcome to another Wellness Collective podcast. Lovely to see you again, Nat.
It just comes around so quickly.
Well, it does, but I feel like life has just taken on, I don't know, it's snowballed. I thought last year was busy, but this year has just been even busier, and I'm not even sure how that can be.
I know. You have bulldozers in your backyard, mm-hmm. and I want to know how that's going for your marriage.
Well, there are six men in my backyard at every given moment during the day, and concrete cutting and all kinds of exciting things. We've started a renovation.
Is it a big renovation?
Yeah.
Is it like going to double the size of your house?
Yes. Oh, yes, it's a big one.
That's big.
Which it didn't kind of really dawn on me until it started. And there were bulldozers and diggers and jackhammers.
Oh, my goodness. The kids would love that, though.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Like when they're shut down for the day, do the kids want to go out and play on the bulldozer?
Yep. It's really cool. And we've even got a sign that says, danger, do not enter on the backyard. We just scoot onto that.
Yeah.
All good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's a lot more safe than I remember when we renovated as kids. Mm. And there was no fencing. There was no segregating the equipment. It's like, go and cut your hands on the saw, kids. It's fine. Like,
play out there next to that. It's about like that at our house as well. The digger guy was like, the kids can climb up. It's fine. I can't do anything. I was like, okay, off you go. Have fun.
Oh, my goodness. Go and play in the backyard, kids, and just fall in the hole.
I like saying extension, though, because it makes me feel like I'm living in the 80s and we're getting a rumpus room. But we're not.
Is it a sunk down rumpus room?
Oh, that'd be nice.
How funny. Well, I've been a little bit full speed, saving the world one uterus at a time.
I love that. What a great motto.
No, the only reason I stole that from someone, we received an email last week, and she actually said, I understand that you're really busy saving the world one uterus at a time, but if you did have time to read my email, I'd really appreciate that. And I was like, I didn't see it. My PA sent it on to me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's hilarious.
It's great. Well, you're sort of like super uterus lady.
Very funny.
That's a pretty good superhero to be.
Totally.
Look, you know, thinking about our house, though, it's interesting that today we are here to talk about aging and our house. The reason that we are renovating and extending is because the darling thing was born in 1964, and she's just tired.
She's tired, but I'm sure she's solid.
She's solid and she's beautiful.
I bet.
But she does need a little bit of cosmetic surgery.
Brick?
No, timber, but with a big brick wall inside and an oven that is the original.
Oh, wow.
And a hot plate that is the original.
Oh, wow.
53 years old.
Oh, my goodness. You know that we were looking at buying a house last time and my husband said, we need a house that's about 50 years old. Mm. And I said,
no, you don't.
No, it was so funny. I said, we need a house that was built in like the 90s. And he's like, your maths is really bad.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness.
Stick
to your uteruses.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to stick to that. But, I mean, the thing is, a lot of us are opposed to aging.
Mm.
I feel like we're living at a time where there's all of these things that prevent us from aging and there's cosmetic surgery. And I know we've spoken about this before.
And you did rub in the fact that I did just turn 40.
I did.
In our last podcast. So, yeah,
but
it
I was
seems
speaking,
to be a topic.
Totally. And I was speaking to a girlfriend and we were talking about aging gracefully. Like, just look after yourself, do the right thing, and, you know, maybe you don't need to go and stick a whole heap of stuff in your face. And we're not opposed or judging anybody that does that, you know.
No, but you probably don't have to. I think that's the thing. It's a mindset, right?
Well, does it bother you? Does aging bother you?
Well, I didn't think so, but I did go and get my hair cut recently. I said to the hairdresser, he did it, and it was this kind of bob, short bob, and I said, what's my motto? Edgy, not mumsy. I think, really, I don't want to look old.
No, but I mean.
But I'm not going to, I just use moisturiser and whatever, and wrinkles are fine.
And it works well.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's fine to have a few. Well, you know, why would I want to look 20 when I'm 40?
Well,
I don't understand.
True. No, I don't either.
And I don't want to be 20 again.
But also, you know a lot of things at 40 that you didn't know at 20. And I think you have to remember those things. And when you age, with it comes knowledge and experience.
Yes.
And let's enjoy that.
All of the good things. So, I mean, we're today on our show, we're focusing more on how to slow down the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
more so by removing the things that are speeding it up.
Oh, so that's a good way of doing it.
Agreed, right? Yeah. We don't really talk about that. So I think we're aging quicker because our lives are actually steering us that way.
Oh, when you think about how busy everyone is, I heard someone talking about this the other day about, you know, it's become like a token that you have to be busy.
Badge of honour.
Yeah. And I actually had a couple of days this week where I had nothing planned and it was so weird. I had all the builders in the backyard, sure.
You weren't on your own.
No, I wasn't. Didn't have any quiet time with the jackhammers, but it was quite strange. It took me a moment to go, I don't actually know what to do because I feel overwhelmed with all the things that I could do.
No, we do that. We don't stop.
Slowed down. I didn't know what to do.
There's always going to be more to do though, hey.
I guess though when you're talking about aging and, you know, trying to slow things down, there are a few things we can't slow down, like our biological clock, I suppose.
Well, we're going to talk about this a lot today because I think there's a lot of pressure about having the baby in the right time because your biological clock is ticking and you're running out of time, lady. And just like that.
Time just goes so quickly when it comes to those things. But, I mean, I am in that position where I have a few friends who are trying to get pregnant, who are on the edge of 40 either side. And it's a whole other horizon, isn't it?
We've got good news for them today.
All
but
good.
I know. But I think this is why we need to talk about it more, because there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of fear and we feed the fears.
Oh, and there's a lot of misconceptions too, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, and it only adds anxiety. And therefore, with all of that, your chances of conception are lower because of all of that.
Counterproductive.
Totally.
That's what you could say. Well, we spoke with a few experts around this idea of aging, and our first guest is Amy Raup today. Now, she's in America, and she's someone that you work with quite a bit. I thought she was based here. It was all a bit confusing, wasn't it?
No, she's not. She's over there. Mm-hmm. But that's okay because it's a global, you know.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
That we're all in the same boat.
Everyone's got uteruses right around the world. How about that?
Yeah.
So she knows a thing or two about not only helping others make babies as they get older, but she did it herself. How old was she?
I think she was 40 when she had her first.
Yeah, right.
She's I think she can tell us.
I'm Amy Raup. I'm a women's health and fertility expert, acupuncturist, herbalist, and I'm the author of two books. And I wrote Yes, You Can Get Pregnant, and it's my second book. I wrote that at the age of 37, and I had yet to even meet my partner, and I knew I always wanted children. So I was really practicing what I preach, right, by preserving my fertility, if you will, by doing all the things that I tell women to do to optimize their health and their fertility. And so the book came out 38, and I met my partner, he was my partner then, my now husband, at right before my 40th birthday. And, you know, we both wanted children, and we had discussed, you know, when we were going to get married and all these things. And I said, well, you know, we should also just probably start trying to conceive, because I did just turn 40, and, you know, I do practice, you know, helping women get pregnant. And so I know that fertility does decline a little bit with age. And I you know, if we want to have more than one child, we should get on it. And he said, okay, you know, and I just did the basics. I just got like my thyroid checked and my vitamin D checked. But I was really living the plan. I was, you know, doing everything that I tell everyone else to do as far as diet and lifestyle and supplements and acupuncture and Chinese herbs. And we got pregnant on the second month of trying, which was really exciting. And, you know, now we're gearing up to start trying again. And I'm 42, 42 and a half, I guess, at this point. So, you know, and still just practicing what I preach and believing in my body and knowing that it can happen for me. And I look forward to it.
Well, her story is not too dissimilar to either of us. Both of us sniff and we fall pregnant.
Well, it did seem that way. Although, taking the age into consideration, if the idea is that fertility goes down as you get older, she's proving that wasn't the case.
Well, I think what she's for also for her and her patients, she's renowned for helping older women fall pregnant.
Yeah.
Which I love, because often we're told that, no, there is a cutoff and that your chances of conception are less.
Yep.
And she's kind of busting through those myths. And again, this is where what you do in the day-to-day counts most. You know, it's not that there's a magic bullet to being more fertile. It's
tell you a story about a friend
of
mine? She's 41 and she's pregnant with her third child at the moment. And I said to her the other day, have you told your mum yet? And she said, no, I'm too scared to tell my mum. She's 41.
Well, I know we had this when Geordie started school. Mm-hmm. We brought the subject up. Are we done?
Yep.
And my husband's like, yes, we are. Aren't we? Yeah. Aren't we? And anyway, we were talking about it in front of my mother-in-law and she's like, you are so done. Do not have another child. I am not looking after your children.
Well, I think
she's
the
getting
problem,
older.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. And she's getting older too. But yeah, I mean, Amy, yes, she does suggest that fertility doesn't decline as much as what we might be led to believe.
So it's a lie?
Maybe.
It declines, but it's not nearly as significant. You know, a lot of the doctors or anything you read on the media, you know, on the web, which can be your worst enemy when it comes to trying to conceive, is, you know, basically as you get closer to 40, you know, your chances go down to like 5%. You know, 5% of women get pregnant in 1 year of trying at the age of 40. And that is not true at all. It's still like, I would say at minimum, you know, 50 to 60% of those women still get pregnant and with healthy pregnancies. And then if you look outside of the modernized world, you know, women are getting pregnant into their late 40s all the time. And previous generations, women got pregnant in their late 40s.
It's so true, isn't it? I mean, both of my grandmothers were pregnant when they were in their late 30s, 38 and 39. And that stuff she says about the internet, you know, you go online and you find all these statistics. It's just, is it that helpful? If you're 40 and you're trying to have your first baby and you read that only 5% of 40-year-olds are going to fall pregnant easily, that's surely going to not put your head in a great place, right?
Surely not, except for natkringudas.com.
Oh, of course.
You can head there and get truthful information.
Super uterus lady, she's got it all.
No, I always say, don't take my word for it. Do your research. Like, I'm just sharing information and I don't have all the answers.
No, of course not.
No, so there's just some facts there and you can just check them out.
I'd just like to say, though, go to your website and find the facts, but don't do like Pauline Hanson was saying just not long ago and go and look for facts that suit you about, the immunisation stuff.
She's crazy.
Anyway.
I think our lifestyles are making us evolve or morph into some sub-infertile ageing woman.
You think so?
Well, I mean, sub-infertile means that in this moment you're not fertile. It doesn't mean you're infertile. It just means as it stands in this minute, you couldn't have a baby. That doesn't mean long-term you can't. But I do think our lifestyle's speeding up our ageing process, which part of that meaning that our fertility is declining sooner.
So I had a friend of mine not long ago go through an IVF cycle and she didn't have any luck with about 4 eggs. Why is that? Do you know anything about...
Yeah, because you've got to look at the whole picture. IVF is very isolating of the reproductive organs. It shuts down certain things, turns them on at right times, and basically it kind of becomes a little bit of a follicle-making factory.
Yep.
But if the outside of that's not... There's a reason why someone's not falling pregnant, always, and it's a matter of looking hard enough to work out what that is.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and there's several factors involved. It's not just your reproductive organs, your gut plays into
Your
liver plays into that. Your nutrient stores play into that. Your stress, like everything plays into that, which can sound completely overwhelming. Mm. But once you sort of get on the right track and have the right pair of eyes look at it, then you can increase your chances of IVF as well.
Yeah, okay.
So it's all encompassing. And I think, you know, IVF's definitely on this same page now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of patients are referred to us as a support, and we get amazing success when we do the right thing alongside each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Sorry. I digressed a little.
No.
Hey, during the week too, it was International Women's Day.
I know.
Goodness me, we have got so much to cover right now.
I know.
Congratulations to all us women.
Yes. We're doing a stellar job.
Mm.
I think totally. I was doing a bit of research actually around International Women's Day because I'm really like out of touch when it comes to different pays in the workforce.
Because you work in a female dominated industry.
But we have male practitioners.
Okay.
They get paid the same.
Yeah,
we all get paid we get paid according to how long we've been in the industry.
Uh-huh.
Not whether you're a man or a woman.
It's really hard when you're not part of those worlds,
of
right?
Of course. And I remember when we spoke to Kelly in episode 9, the divide between women and men in the workplace and how that comes into play. And of course, if you want to go back and check out that episode, it's just our most recent, number 9.
It was a good one, was wellness and work.
Anyway, I clearly live with my head in the sand.
Well, the interesting thing about talking about wellness and work was we touched on the fact that if you are in a job and it's not making you happy and you're stressed and whatever, it can really age you. So that's something to keep in mind as well, because your lifestyle obviously can influence your age, as we've talked about. But what don't you think there's some people who are just old?
Yeah, like from the beginning.
From the beginning? I remember there was a girl I went to school with who always seemed middle-aged, even at like 13.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And I think, I mean, our thoughts and our actions and our behaviour can be really powerful on our actual physiology of our body.
Touch upon it, and yes, you can get pregnant a lot, but I really get into it in my next book, Body Belief, is that your thoughts dictate the activity of your cells. Like your thoughts actually influence your physiology, which will then influence, you know, how your body functions. And so if you do believe that, you know, I'm 40 and I'm never going to get pregnant, perhaps your body's going to actually show you signs and proof of that.
See how powerful the mind really is, the beast that needs to be tamed.
Yeah.
And health includes the mental, emotional aspect, right? You know, that's, you know, Nat and I are the same there in that sense of like the Chinese medicine and the mind and the body are not separate. So to us, you know, the thoughts you think are just as important as the food you eat, you know, and just as important as the amount of sleep you get. And so to take all of that into consideration when you're thinking about your health and your fertility as an extension of that.
So slowing down the aging process, it isn't necessarily about turning back the clock. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
But so more about assisting our body to work better and more efficiently. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's a nicer way to look at it, isn't it? And we've said it so many times, but it's all about removing the factors that are speeding up the process, which isn't necessarily easy either.
No, but then trying to turn back the clock is almost impossible.
Well, literally, yes. But the other person that we spoke to recently was Lee Holmes. She's a nutritionist and author. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she's actually part of this month's radio show Wellness Collective.
We talk about part of that.
Yes. We talked to her about intermittent fasting.
I know. It's such a weird concept when you think about all the food that you're trying to put into your body to feed it and then fasting. It's like, oh, messes with my mind.
Absolutely.
That's so powerful.
Let's take a listen.
There's actually new research from the University of Southern California, and they did research on how fasting can really regenerate the entire immune system, even in the elderly, which is quite interesting. They say that it kickstarts your stem cells into producing new white cells that fight off infection, and that regenerates your whole immune system. It's really interesting. You can find that research online as well. It's University of Southern California.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's science fiction, or you have to go and have really painful, weird operations to accomplish.
Yeah, when you start talking about stem cells.
Stem cells. No. But anyway, so what she has to say, and you will hear more of that if you go over to, if you're in the Wellness Collective and you can hear the radio show, because the intermittent fasting thing, it's just fascinating. And it shows that we can turn back the clock maybe if we do these certain things. And it's not just about fertility or aging, it's everything.
In regards to rejuvenating the immune system, that also helps with anti-aging as well. So they say that prolonged fasting, I've just written it down here because I couldn't believe it when I read it, reduce the enzyme PKA, which is linked to aging, and a hormone which increases cancer risk and tumor growth. So it reduces the enzyme PKA, and that's your aging hormone. Yeah.
It blows my mind that we understand we can steer our body towards a state of illness, we start to create unhealthy cells, and we keep on creating unhealthy cells.
Yeah.
But the logic in reversing that, we're not quite there yet.
We haven't worked that out.
No, well, we kind of have. This is it. But we don't really look at it. We're kind of like, oh, well, I have cancerous cells now, so I have cancer. It's sort of like, well, hang on, you had to do something to make that happen. So what do we do to not make that happen?
It's not the way that most medical things are approached, though. No. You're changing the world, uterus girl.
Well, now we should go back to politics, and maybe I should be.
Yeah, maybe. The uterus party. Here we go. So you reckon we can do the reverse with ourselves? Amy had something to say about that.
All of the cells in your body turn over every 3 or so months. You know, you're made up of billions of cells, and cellularly, you're not the same individual you were 3 months ago. Like literally, it's a brand new, you know, you renew all that time. And so you can renew your body and the cells that it contains in about a 3 month time span, which will actually, you know, you could feasibly be cellularly younger in 3 months from now than you are now. And that's not to say like then it's cumulative that you'll just go back to your 20s or something if you're 40, but maybe, I don't know. You know, we'll see it. Time will tell.
Isn't that just insane? You can be a completely new person every 3 months.
You are, or you can be.
No, you are. You are. You are. Sorry. You know, you can. You are. It's wild.
It is wild, but why can we not change? Like, why don't we look any different? Or maybe that's why kids look different. You know how sometimes you just look at them and you're like, oh, you're different.
I do that with my kids.
Is that weird?
They wander out in the morning. I'm like, did you grow last
night?
I think you did.
Every 3 months, I think we might have to clock in. So I wonder, though, I mean, we haven't always lived the kind of life that we live at the moment. And I guess that, you know, we're living longer, but we're not necessarily healthy for that entire length of our life. And we're living with ailments and niggles, and then that can extend to the bigger stuff too.
Right. I mean, our environment, our stress, our lack of sleep, our poor diet. I mean, all those things age us before our time.
So it isn't any wonder that our fertility is declining earlier, but we're taking longer to go through menopause, which means there's this really big gap and our hormones clearly are completely out of balance.
What do you mean? I've never given you my old lady voice before, ever. Sorry, I thought it was appropriate right now. Sorry. You weren't even expecting her to turn up.
I was not expecting her.
You never know when she might come. It seemed like a good opportunity talking about aging. Lee did speak a little bit more about how times have changed, especially with our eating habits. And this is a really interesting thing. I just think, you know, we have food everywhere and it's an issue.
We are so programmed to eat breakfast, lunch and dinner. 9, 12 and 6 or whatever it is. And we are so programmed like that, but that's not how it has been, you know, in history. We haven't always eaten like that. I don't know why we're so programmed like that. So it is, I think it's really interesting. And when you look at some of the benefits of fasting and really, really looking at the benefits, it's not just to balance your hormones and it's not just to lose weight either. There's bigger benefits in terms of, like you say, aging and energy as well, brain health. There's this whole new research around how I know that when I fast on a Monday and Thursday, and when I wake up on a Tuesday morning, I feel like I could do a whole week's work in a day. That's how clear my mind feels.
That sounds good. Must be time to put down the fork. Although I might add, I had a couple of weeks where I didn't drink any alcohol, which did coincide with after my birthday party.
But you couldn't look at it.
Couldn't. But it gave me a real clarity. I really felt like those couple of weeks, I think it was 3 weeks, and I really thought, wow, it's amazing how having that little bit of alcohol, not that I drink very much, but it made a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what she's saying about food, which we don't think about like that very much at all, do we?
No, I'm with you on that.
Now, let's just get back to fertility before we wrap up. You did get to speak to Amy about it a little bit more. Now, I'm not sure about this. Can they do a test to see how many eggs you have available and test your fertility any stage?
I'm not so down with this test. It's called the AMH test. And so many women see that they come into my office, they're crying because their AMH basically tests for your ovarian reserve. I like to say how many eggs you got left.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're often really disheartened because they come in and get a really low number. What I also know is that if we work on their fertility in the same way we work on fertility across the board, nothing specific for AMH, this number improves.
Oh.
So this is a bit weird because it's like, well, we're told that we're born
with
all of
eggs. A certain amount of eggs.
Mm-hmm. But that AMH can change, which means I think the test is a little bit questionable. But let's listen to what Amy says.
So, I mean, AMH stands for anti-Müllerian hormone, right? And it's secreted by the ovaries. And doctors are using it now as a predictor of ovarian reserve. But similar to FSH, which was the original gold standard in ovarian reserve detection, it changes all the time. It's, you know, it's not static, right? So you could have, you know, back in the day, right, they used to say you're only as good as your highest FSH. And then they started saying, oh, well, you know, when your estrogen levels are off, then your FSH is off. Or if we give you Clomid, then that throws off your FSH. So then they looked for something, you know, because FSH is secreted by your brain in response to the follicles growing. And so that was the first determining, you know, tool that they used for ovarian reserve. And then they found AMH was secreted by the ovaries, so a little closer to home to see ovarian reserve. But again, that number varies and changes. And it's, you know, the biggest thing I say is this is just a ballpark, and it's a snapshot of what your body's doing in one moment in time. So, you know, you could have an AMH of a one, and, you know, most people think that that's a very fine AMH, but that translates to, like, I don't know, close to 25 or 30,000 eggs left. You know, that's a lot of eggs.
20,000, 25 to 30, that is a lot of eggs. I mean,
that's a lot of children.
That is a lot of children, and, hey, it's almost Easter. I couldn't take that the credit for that joke. That was Ian, the guy who puts us together. Thank you, Ian. Good joke. No, it's so interesting, though, isn't it? And it makes me realize that we tend to try and medicalize things and put science on top of stuff that's natural. And maybe if we thought less about these, you know, abbreviations and these numbers and stuff, does that take the pressure off a little bit?
I think so. And I think it's important. I really wanted to make sure that we touched on ANH because it's a stress for so many women, and it puts unnecessary pressure and medicalizes something that isn't necessarily. You don't need to medicalize pregnancy, hopefully. So put that aside, ladies. It's not true.
And you don't want 20,000 babies in one go. Woo!
No.
So we've talked about fasting, and we will talk more about that and when you join us in the radio show, because it's so interesting. And that's a way to kind of, you know, enhance your cells and your fertility. Amazing.
Hormones.
What else can you do, though, to support your health and slow down the aging process?
If you live your life in a way that isn't, you know, as we say, right, in Chinese medicine, if you don't live in accordance with the Tao, which is, you know, living like as if one with nature, then for sure you will age before your time, right? So if you live in accordance with the Tao, as in T-A-O, that means, you know, you're sleeping like 7 to 8 hours every night, and you're going to bed at normal times, right? And you're experiencing joy, and you're eating fresh, wholesome foods that are as close to their natural state as possible. And, you know, you're nourishing your body, you know, you're from a mental and emotional, physical, nutritional perspective. And so when you do those things, yes, you can slow down the aging process.
As with everything, it's about living with joy, and that makes a difference in your life. And that's just, I don't know, it's great, isn't it?
I love that.
Happiness and laughter and appreciation for what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Living in the now, not worrying about what you don't have, focusing on what you do. I love that. I think that's a good place to leave it today. We can all go on and live with a little more joy in our lives.
A little bit of Tao.
A bit of that.
Nice. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about what Amy has to say, and if you want some details about getting pregnant as an older...
She's actually got an upcoming e-course that's about to launch. So
fantastic.
Put the details of that in the show notes.
Or you can check out amyraup.com, and it is spelt in quite a kind of tricky way. So check out the show notes, as Nat said, and you can find all the information right there.
Back to building for you.
Yes, I'm finding my Tao. Gotta laugh.
Yeah, you do. I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Nat. Bye.
Bye.